This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to ER Vet on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Justine Lee, and I'm a board-certified emergency critical care veterinary specialist and toxicologist. Thanks for joining us. Today, we're going to be talking about your dog and cat's thyroid gland. Believe it or not, this topic is really important, especially if you have an older cat or you have a golden retriever. So pay attention. We'll be right back after these messages. I'm your host, Dr. Justine Lee. I'd like to tell you about Natural Farm all-natural dog chews and bones, made from sustainably sourced ingredients and produced and lab-tested in their factory in Brazil. Natural Farm has some new exciting products, including stuffed collagen sticks in three different flavors, bully stick, peanut butter and chicken, power bully sticks made from beef cheek and pizzle, and peanut butter flavor collagen sticks. Your dog will love them. Go to naturalfarmpet.com and save 15% off with code ERVET15.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
To ER Vet on Pet Life Radio. Today, I'm going to be talking about a topic that doesn't sound very sexy, but it's the thyroid gland in your dog and cat. Now, why am I talking about this? The thyroid gland is really important and in the body. And I end up seeing a lot of endocrine problems. Now, most of the time, I'm not seeing this in the ER, but you have to be aware as a dog or cat owner because we see a lot of endocrine or hormone problems. Now, certain types of endocrine disease or hormone problems can be more prevalent as obesity increases. And unfortunately, 60 to 70% of our pets in North America nowadays are overweight or obese. And obese is defined as greater than 20% of your pet's ideal body weight. If you're not sure what your pet's weight should be, when in doubt, if you have a purebred, go to the American Kennel Club, AKC website and look at the breed. They usually have the weight standard. If you have a purebred cat, go to the Cat Fanciers Association and see what that cat is typically going to be. Little life hack I can tell you is your average Labrador retriever is supposed to be 70 pounds. The ones that I see in the vet ER, they're typically 80 to 90 pounds. That doesn't sound like a lot, but that's overweight to obese. And please keep in mind, the more overweight we see dogs and cats, the more expensive your veterinary bills are going to be. Not only are the medications going to be more expensive, but we see a lot of secondary complications like ACL tears in Labrador retrievers because of obesity, or diabetes, which means you have to give injections of insulin twice a day for the rest of your pet's life. So we always want to keep our pets as healthy as possible. So again, when in doubt, find out what your pet's ideal body weight is supposed to be and try to keep your dog and cat in excellent body condition. All right. So what exactly is endocrine? Endocrine problems are basically problems with the endocrine glands. These are glands in the body that produce hormones. So hormones in your body are super important. And I'm not just talking about estrogen and sex hormones like testosterone. I'm talking about hormones that help control appetite or help regulate your body's normal systems. They help maintain fluid balance or weight, or they help control your pet's metabolism or blood sugar. Now, most people don't know this, but endocrine diseases are exactly the same between dogs, cats, and humans. So today, we're going to talk about the endocrine problem related to the thyroid gland, which produces thyroid hormone. Now, most dogs that I see have a condition called HYPO thyroidism. That means that the thyroid gland isn't working well, and it results in low levels of thyroid hormone, specifically abbreviated or called T4 and T3. Now, when I see signs of hypothyroidism, it's usually signs of obesity or really poor or dry hair coat, exercise intolerance, or just acting lethargic. having heat-seeking behavior, like when your dog is looking for a heat vent or is always sleeping in front of the fireplace, having some neurologic problems, which is pretty rare. If you're breeding your dog, infertility is a cause for hypothyroidism, having a slower heart rate, or being slower to wake up from sedation or anesthesia. It can also result in blood work changes, like a high cholesterol level, or what we call hyperlipidemia when there's too much fat within the blood sample. Now, the diagnosis of hypothyroidism in dogs is pretty easy. It's based on a thorough physical examination, based on the history, based on some of the signs that your dog is showing. And the best way of diagnosing it is going to be based off blood work. We're going to measure T4 levels, free T4 levels, and sometimes a hormone level called a TSH test. Now, this is a very easy test that is readily available. All veterinarians have the ability to do this test, and we always want to make sure we're diagnosing it correctly. Now, I want to step back and say that hypothyroidism, that underactive thyroid, is seen more commonly in certain breeds. Again, the number one breed that I see it in is the Golden Retriever. Other breeds include Doberman Pinschers or Dachshunds, Poodles, or Great Danes. But again, if your dog is gaining weight, acting a little slower, having a poor hair coat, it's a little bit more flaky, in those situations, you really want to make sure that you get a thyroid blood test done at your veterinarian. That's because it's really easy to treat. The prognosis for hypothyroidism in dogs is amazing. It just requires that you supplement it in a pill twice a day, or even sometimes once a day, once it's well controlled. The hormone pill that we're supplementing is called thyroxin, and it does need to be given every single day for the rest of your dog's life, but it's a tiny pill and it's super, super cheap. So when in doubt, please talk to your veterinarian and make sure that your dog is appropriately worked up and diagnosed. Now, I will say there are certain diseases and certain medications that are going to falsely mess up your dog's thyroid hormones. So if your dog's on anti-seizure medication like phenobarbital, or if your pet is sick, that can falsely lower the thyroid hormones. So I don't actually recommend testing the T4 or thyroid hormones in those situations. I will also say I published a study, over a decade ago, in Alaskan sled dogs. And Alaskan sled dogs seem to have lower normal thyroid level. So if you have a Siberian Husky that has a low thyroid hormone, it may actually just be a breed variation. It doesn't necessarily mean that your dog is hypothyroid. When in doubt, you want to consult with an endocrinologist, which is an expert in endocrine disease, or an internal medicine specialist if your dog has a more complicated diagnosis of hypothyroidism. Now, I did want to mention, if you're getting your thyroid medication from a human pharmacy instead of from your veterinarian, please don't be shocked when your human pharmacist is like, this dose is way too high. Dogs require huge doses of siloxine or thyroxin, the thyroid hormone replacement, as compared to humans. So they usually require a dose that humans would never take. So your human pharmacist is going to be like, this dose is wrong, when we veterinarians actually know what we're doing. So when in doubt, check with your veterinarian. I will also say that there are some brand name and generic thyroid hormones, and you really want to stick to one type of medication, because if you're bouncing between generic and different brands, it can really affect how well your dog is regulated. When in doubt, please check with your veterinarian. Now, again, I already mentioned that the prognosis is excellent if your dog is diagnosed with hypothyroidism. Please know that long-term wise, we do actually have to continue to monitor blood work. We're not just doing it to get money. We actually have to measure the thyroid hormone. And this is usually done 1 to 2 months after starting the medication. And then it has to be done a few times a year thereafter. Once your dog is stable on a certain drug dose, we only have to check it probably once a year. But again, when in doubt, check with your veterinarian. The majority of the time, hypothyroidism isn't caused from thyroid cancer, but your vet's still going to want to work it up just to be on the safe side. Cost-wise, this endocrine disease is super inexpensive to treat, and it's going to make your dog a lot healthier once we fix their metabolism problems. We'll take a short break, and then we'll talk about cats and the opposite problem, hyperthyroidism.
How many of you have pets? My hand's raised. Now think about how lucky you are to have such a sweet little pet in your life, and that pet is lucky to have you too. But unfortunately, there are countless pets out there that don't have a home to call their own. However, Bob's from Skechers is trying to change that. So we developed Bob's for Dogs and Cats to help pets in need. With every purchase of adorable Bob's footwear or fun, stylish apparel, or even the cutest Bob's pet accessories, Skechers makes a donation to Petco Love to help save shelter pets. And with your help, we've already saved the lives of over 1 million pets and raised over $7 million. So while you're getting style and comfort with features like Skechers' famous memory foam cushioning, you're also helping to save an adorable pet in need and helping another lucky owner be connected with a future best friend and companion. Because happiness is having a loving pet by your side. Find Bob's at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, select Petco locations, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets
on Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Pet Life Radio ER Vet. I've been talking about endocrine or hormone problems in dogs and cats. So far, we've talked about hypothyroidism, which is when the thyroid gland is underactive in dogs. Now, 99% of the time, this is totally a dog problem. This is not a cat problem. Okay. So hypothyroidism is going to result in a really sluggish, slow, overweight, poor hair coat type of dog. And again, the number one breed I see it in is typically the Golden Retriever, followed by the Doberman Pinscher. Now, let's talk about cats. That's going to be called hyper or H-Y-P-E-R thyroidism. This is only seen in cats and rarely seen in dogs. And this means there's too much thyroid hormone. Now, this is one of the most common endocrine problems that I see in cats. And it's usually from a benign adenoma or what is commonly called a thyroid goiter. Very rarely, it can be from a thyroid cancerous mass. So your vet always wants to do a physical exam to make sure it's not from that. Now, I never see an overactive thyroid in cats less than 5 to 6 years of age. It's usually in middle age to older cats. I used to have a cat named Seamus who had a borderline overactive thyroid, and I could palpate his thyroid gland, and that was right over the neck area. So if you go into your veterinary clinic and if you see your veterinarian examining your cat, you'll notice them using their thumb and their index finger to manipulate and just palpate from the base of your cat's jaw all the way down to the neck. And if you're wondering what they're doing, it's because they're feeling for the thyroid gland. If your vet doesn't do that on your cat that's over 6 to 10 years of age, you might want to find another cat. That's a really important part of a physical exam that must be done in cats. Now, why do we have to treat endocrine diseases? Because with hyperthyroidism, they end up having too much thyroid hormone, and that's going to overstimulate their metabolic system. That means that they're going to show signs of an overactive body. In other words, their kidneys are going to filter faster. They're going to burn more calories more quickly. Their heart is going to beat faster. So the classic signs of hyperthyroidism in a cat is, again, generally a middle-aged to older cat that's drinking more, urinating more, losing weight, but still acting hungrier, being hyperactive, meowing or yowling more, vomiting more frequently, having a poor hair coat, like a greasier hair coat, acting restless, or losing weight in the face of eating more. If your cat's showing any of those signs, a thyroid test is a must do in that situation because hyperthyroidism can actually be fatal if not treated. Now, I remember years ago, my doctor wanted to test me for hypothyroidism, an underactive thyroid. And for anyone who knows me, I'm like this zooming, hyper-vigilant, hyper-crazy, energetic person. I was like, no way. If anything, I'm hyperthyroid. She didn't believe me. She did the blood test anyway. And of course, my thyroid hormone was normal. So anyway, hyperthyroidism is overactive. You're going to think of someone who's really, really energetic. Same thing for a cat. They're doing zoomies around the house at 10 years of age. They're acting hungrier. They're more hyperactive. They're yowling more in the middle of the night. When in doubt, you want to get your cat's thyroid test done immediately. Now, the diagnosis of hyperthyroidism is super easy. Again, it's going to be similar to hypothyroidism in dogs. We're going to do a physical exam. We're going to ask about clinical signs. We're going to ask an appropriate history, and we're going to do a T4 hormone test. These are super easy to do. Now, I mentioned before with diagnosing hypothyroidism in dogs, we usually do a T4, a T3, and a TSH. Now, in the majority of cats, I just do a T4 hormone test. Once in a while, in rare situations that are harder to diagnose, I may do a free T4 or T3 suppression test, but this is really rarely done. And most of the time, it's done by an internal medicine endocrinology specialist. Now, I did want to fill you in on something. If I do a physical examination on your cat and I feel a palpable thyroid nodule in that neck area, that means your cat may eventually get this disease. So if I palpate one of those thyroid nodules, I want you to get a T4 done on your cat every single year. Yep, you heard me right. Every single year. And that's because unlike hypothyroidism in dogs, hyperthyroidism can cause a lot of secondary damage to your cat. So the sooner we diagnose it, the sooner we can treat it, the better the prognosis and the less side effects. So what are some of the side effects or the complications that we can see with hyperthyroidism? Well, not only can your cat lose too much weight and get really skinny, but they can also develop a heart murmur. Remember I talked about how that thyroid hormone makes the heart beat faster? Well, if your cat's heart beats too quickly, it causes secondary changes to the heart. Now, a cat's normal heart rate at a veterinary clinic is 200 beats per minute. In fact, that's really hard to count. Now, resting at home, your cat's normal heart rate is probably 120 to 140 beats per minute. But in the veterinary clinic, it's about 200 beats per minute. Well, a hyperthyroid cat can have a heart rate of 220 or 240. And you can imagine if the heart is beating that fast, it uses up a lot of energy, a lot of oxygen, and it makes your cat's heart become hypertrophied, which means it becomes too muscular. This changes the blood flow through the heart, and it causes a secondary heart murmur that can cause a stroke, that can cause a clot, a life-threatening clot, and it can cause congestive heart failure when fluid develops in the lung. So we want to make sure that your cat doesn't have secondary heart effects. Now, hyperthyroidism can also affect the kidneys. It can worsen kidney failure. I mentioned before that it basically speeds up your cat's metabolism. So it makes your cat's kidneys filter faster, which is why they drink more and why they urinate a lot. Now, when we're treating hyperthyroidism, this is going to be really important because we can see complications of kidney failure because of that overactive metabolism. Thankfully, there is treatment for hyperthyroidism in cats, but it's very different than dogs. It's much more expensive. Now, there's four main options for the treatment of hyperthyroidism in cats. Now, the first one is oral medication. This has to be given once to twice a day. And if you can't pill your cat, please know there are transdermal options out there. In other words, we put ointment on your cat's ear and that slowly is absorbed to help treat the hyperthyroidism. The oral medication is a medication called methimazole, and the common brand name is called tapizole. This drug basically interferes with the production of thyroid hormone. Now, methimazole is really safe, but it does have some rare side effects. It can cause intense itchiness. It can cause vomiting. It can actually cause an increase in liver enzymes. And very, very rarely, it can actually suppress the bone marrow. That's why your vet has to do blood work frequently. And I know you're probably thinking, oh, my vet wants me to come in before they refill this prescription. It's such a pain. They just want my money. That is not true. The reason why we're doing blood work is because very rarely, your cat can have major side effects from the medication. And if we don't treat it, your cat can die from it. So we want to make sure we're doing blood work frequently to make sure that we have the dosing correct and that there's no complications from it. If your cat just started methimazole, I usually do blood work 1 to 2 weeks after starting the medication, then 1 month later, then every 3 months for about a year. If your cat's doing great on that and the blood work shows that the kidneys are doing great, then I usually just do blood work once or twice a year the next year, and then after that, just once a year. So it can be a lot more expensive because it requires more veterinary visits and more blood work. The second option for treating hyperthyroidism is using radiation, something called I-131. This is when your cat gets an injection of a radioactive isotope, and this is going to destroy the overactive thyroid tissue. But we have to keep your cat hospitalized in a special licensed facility for about 7 to 10 days. And that's because your cat is radioactive and we don't want you exposed. Now, I-131 can only typically be done at specialty clinics or at academic veterinary schools. It's a little bit expensive, but long-term wise, it becomes a wash. In other words, you're not doing blood work all the time. You're not going in for as many veterinary visits. So long-term wise, it's curative after a cat has had I-131. Now, please be aware there are rare side effects from it. The side effects being that it can decrease blood flow to your cat's kidneys, worsening or unmasking chronic kidney disease. And very, very rarely, we can see it resulting in hypothyroidism, the endocrine problem that dogs get. So I know this all sounds really complicated. When in doubt, check with your veterinarian or your veterinary specialist. The third option for treating hyperthyroidism is by a prescription diet. It's actually a prescription diet called YD, made by Science Diet. This is a low iodine diet, and it really only helps with mild cases of hyperthyroidism. The good thing is, if you can't pill your cat, you can't afford I-131, this is a great option. But if you're going to pay for this food, please be aware that means nothing else through the mouth. Yes, you heard me right. No snacks, no treats, no other cat food. Otherwise, it totally negates the fact that this diet is going to work. Okay. So when in doubt, the evidence is out there that this diet can change the thyroid levels within 3 weeks. And I've had some vets have really good success with it, but you can't give your cat any other snacks. If you have another cat, you have to be aware that you're going to have to feed those cats separately, and your hyperthyroid cat definitely can't get into the other cat's food. The last option is called a thyroidectomy. That's surgical removal of the thyroid glands. Now, surgery is more complicated, and the reason why is because hyperthyroid cats can have goiters in both glands. So sometimes both glands need to be removed, and that can cause an underactive thyroid gland. And that means your cat needs thyroid supplementation like a dog. There's also these really important tiny microscopic glands called parathyroid glands that are really important for balancing calcium. And if they're accidentally taken out, that can affect calcium levels. So I generally don't do surgery for hyperthyroidism, but instead I choose medical management with methimazole, I-131, or even diet-related changes. When in doubt, check with a veterinarian. And again, that's why I'm such an advocate that your dog and cat see the vet for an annual exam. The sooner we diagnose these endocrine problems, the sooner we can fix them with hormone replacement or drugs that alter the hormone balance. When in doubt, we veterinarians want to keep your dog and cat living for as long as possible. So again, if you notice any signs of changes in weight, acting sluggish or overactive, drinking more, urinating more, having a poor hair coat, you want to get into the veterinarian for these blood tests. Well, that brings me to the end of today's show. Find me at Dr. Justine Lee on Facebook or Instagram at Dr. Justine Lee, or email me your pet questions at drjustine@petliferadio.com. With that, we're out of time, and we want to thank Mark Winter, our producer, for making this show possible. See you at the next episode.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.